Let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke. And by way of preview, it may become such that when you open your Bible, it may just fall open to the Gospel of Luke. Luke 1, verse 1. We'll get there in just a few minutes. Well, I have been here with you for roughly a little under a year and a half now, and we've had the blessing of studying Philippians and Judges and 1st and 2nd Peter and Habakkuk, and maybe the exposition of those has been helpful and maybe it hasn't, but it is a blessing. There is great value in studying the Scriptures verse by verse. Somebody said this one time, I thought this was profound. Many sermons, many different messages from different preachers you will hear, it's a lot like the way that they use the Scripture, it's a lot like singing the national anthem before a sports event. It is revered, it is respected, that's a valued time by people, but the national anthem really doesn't have anything to do with the game that's about to be played. We just do that as a formality, as an observation before that. And I've definitely heard a lot of messages where it was as if the text, the Bible, was a formality of something that we do at the very beginning, and let's get that over with so the preacher can go on to say what he really wants to talk about. And it has nothing to do with the Scripture. And that's too bad. I've said this before, and I'll say this again. Whenever you're listening to a sermon or a teaching or somebody preaching or something like that, if you're not very clear on the passage that they're preaching, it very well could be that they're not preaching one, that they're preaching the gospel according to their own opinion, not necessarily the Word of God. And I'm not here to criticize other people. I'm not even worried about what other people are doing. I'm just going to try to do what I'm called to do. But here, we don't preach topics. We preach passages of Scripture. So if you came looking for 5 healthy marriage tips or 12 principles of raising your children, or as in a lot of cases, 8 key principles to financial freedom. All of those are great things. But inevitably, what that can lead to is what we call proof texting, where I decide, here's what I'm going to say anyway, and then finding scriptures to support what I'm already going to say, rather than what does the Scripture say, and that's what we say. That proof texting, or eisegesis as it's called, is dangerous, because if you're halfway articulate, you can make the Scripture say almost anything, and that's a dangerous thing. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to let the Scripture set the focus, and we're going to know what we're going to say next because it's going to be the next verse. One thing I love about doing what we call expository preaching is I don't have to do a whole lot of concern and preparation with, well, I wonder what I'm going to say next week. Well, it's pretty easy. We're going to do the next passage next week, and when we're done with all that, we're going to go on to the next book. And here's the beautiful thing about that. Well, that's rigid. That doesn't allow the Holy Spirit to work. No, actually, when you have a plan and you have a direction, there is the ability to be flexible, because at least you know the direction that you're going, and if you get thrown a curveball like I did this week, you have some idea of where you're going, and that's a beautiful thing. So having spent some time in the Old Testament with a history book and a minor prophet, and having spent some time in 3 of the New Testament letters, now we're going to turn to one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke. And so let's jump in. Before we do a whole lot of background stuff, let's jump in to the Gospel of Luke and be encouraged. Today, we're going to cover 4 entire verses. 4 verses. Here's how we begin. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. Now, you probably did not use the word inasmuch in a sentence this week. And this is maybe a case where they could have picked a different word, but you probably used the word because or even considering, but you get the idea here. Luke is saying, there's been a lot of other people that have sat down to write the story of the gospel, but it seemed good to me to do the same thing. I've carefully researched this. I've investigated, and it seemed, I love this part. Verse 3, Luke says, it seemed good to me also. He doesn't say, and God spaketh to me and said, no, I've been studying these things. I've been fascinated with these things for a while. I've prayed about it, and it seemed good to me to write also an account. I think that's just, this is for free. This isn't really what we're going to talk about this morning, but what a great statement about how the Holy Spirit leads us. It's not this big booming audible voice from heaven necessarily. It seemed good to me as I've considered this, as I've prayed about this. It seemed to be that this is how God is leading me to do that. And as you're facing some decisions this year, you're considering what God might be saying to you, how God might be leading you this year. Don't expect a big, dramatic, loud voice, even though God can speak that way. Sometimes it's just in the context of, it seemed good to me. Not in one moment, not just, well, it seemed good to me, so I did it. No, over time, a careful investigation, praying about it, it seemed good to me, and that's how God led me to do something. But under the inspiration of the Spirit, Luke felt inspired and compelled to write down the things that had been communicated to him about Jesus' life and his ministry. Now, Luke is the prequel to the book of Acts, which is the sequel. And so what we have is Luke and Acts all written by the same author, the continuation of the same story. And those two books together make up a big chunk of the New Testament. Luke is probably written in the early 60s in the first century, about the time that the events of the book of Acts come to an end. We believe that's probably the time that Luke, having been a traveling companion of Paul, and Paul is in prison in Rome, Luke sits down and compiles all of this and puts all of these things together. Before we get really into the text, though, let's first look at the Gospel of Luke as a whole, and then specifically Luke, the writer of this Gospel. First of all, this is interesting, the Gospel of Luke is the longest book in the New Testament. So, needless to say, this is going to take us a while. I'm reasonably sure that we will finish the book of Luke, our study of the book of Luke, before the end of the year. I'm just not ready to say which year that's going to be. It's going to take a while. It just is. Now, we'll have guest speakers from time to time. We'll take a little detour for the sake of variety from time to time. But we're going to be in Luke for a while, and it's going to be at least this year. It's going to be a while. But my perspective is this. The point is not to finish books so that we can say, well, we finished this book. The point is to study the Bible. So it's going to take us a while to progress through 24 chapters. And Luke, if you'll look down in your Bible, look at chapter 1. It's 80 verses. And like I said, we're going to cover four of them this morning. All four of them. But here are some other things that make the book of Luke unique. Pretty cool as we jump in. More than likely, Luke is addressed not to Jews, but to Gentiles, which I think for most of us is really good news because we're Gentiles. It's also addressed to a specific person by name. Now, we'll talk about more about this in a minute, but there's this most excellent Theophilus that he's addressing this letter to, along with Acts when he writes that as well. And evidently, Theophilus is needing assurance. He is needing to be reassured about the gospel, the things that he's been taught. He needs to know, is this information about Jesus really true? But here's the cool part about that. I believe that Theophilus is an actual person, but that name, Theophilus, we can take it two different ways. It means either lover of God or beloved of God. And with the name, the meaning with that name, that also conveys, it's not just written to a specific person named Theophilus, but it is written to those who are lovers of God and who are beloved of God, which would be us. Another part here, maybe a little bit for Bible trivia. Luke is the only one of the Gospels that includes the parable of the Good Samaritan. We would think it would be more, but it only appears in Luke. Number four, maybe even more so than the other Gospels, Luke deals with real life and real people in real situations. There's just a lot of things that we see there. Luke emphasizes that the gospel is for everybody. And it includes, Luke talks about issues involving Gentiles and tax collectors and sinners and the poor. And even, are you ready for this? Women. Women. Pretty amazing. So let's talk about Luke himself, an introduction here to Dr. Luke. Colossians 4:14. Paul writes this, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you. So we get a little bit of bio about Luke there. We know that he's a medical doctor. And from Acts, we also learn, and some of the part that we've even talked about here before, Luke was a traveling companion with no less than the Apostle Paul in some of the events in the book of Acts. Luke is probably also a Gentile, which means he was the only New Testament writer who was non-Jewish. Pretty interesting. He's also, here's the thing too, when we think about all of the other New Testament writers, Luke is not a first-generation Christian. He's a second-generation Christian. He became a Christian because of the influence, because of the witness of the original eyewitnesses to the life and ministry of Christ. He was an eyewitness to some of the things that we read about in the book of Acts, but unlike the other gospel writers, he's not an eyewitness to the events that he writes about in the gospel. This is all from stories that he's heard, from interviews that he's conducted, from information that he's compiled. But 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, some of the last things that the Apostle Paul writes as he sits in prison writing a letter to Timothy, and Paul said, Luke alone is with me. He wants him to send for John Mark. He wants him to bring his cloak. He wants him to bring the parchments. But Luke alone, Dr. Luke alone, was with Paul in some of those last moments. But there was no one better suited to do all the research, to listen to the stories, to interview all of the eyewitnesses, and to compile it all into a single gospel than Dr. Luke. So let's unpack this a little bit, verse by verse. He talks about many, in the first four verses here, he talks about many have undertaken to compile a narrative. Okay, that doesn't sound like that big of a deal to us. Okay, many people have decided to write this down, but remember, in those days in the first century, That wasn't the practice. That's not something that they did of something happened and they wrote it down. All of the stories that were told, all of the information that you gathered, it wasn't from watching something on TV, hearing it on the radio, reading about it. It wasn't put in printed matter. It was all this oral tradition. That's how information was conveyed. But the events that happened in Jesus's life and Jesus's ministry were so powerful, were so fascinating, so intriguing that a lot of people had started writing these things down. It was such an unusual thing. Remember, the printing press doesn't get invented until somewhere around 1440. So almost 1400 years, it's going to be another 1400 years before we're going to have a lot of stuff getting generated and recycled in printed form. And yet this is so important to them that a number of people are saying, we got to be writing this stuff down. Because what we're seeing in the first century is a fascination, an obsession with Jesus's life and ministry, where after he lives and does the miracles and does all the teachings and is crucified and rises from the dead and ascends back up into heaven, people are pausing even years later to go, what just happened? That was fascinating. That was amazing. And he did so much and he said so much. We haven't even been able to process all of it. And we're just now coming to understand how everything that he did was actually a fulfillment of the prophecies in the Old Testament. We didn't connect all those dots, but we're starting to see that now. This is what God has been promising for so long, and it's happened. How do we process all of this? And that's where Luke would come and start to write these things down. One of the books that I was reading on this, I love how he said this, the whole story of the gospel gave early believers itchy pins. And it wasn't simply that ancient prophecy was being fulfilled. It was, above all, Jesus himself who so attracted them. He whetted their appetite. He stirred their interest. They somehow couldn't get over him and couldn't get enough of him. And that's why they were writing it down. But here's what's amazing too. Not all of those written records. Luke says that there's a lot of people writing these things down, but certainly not all of those written records survived. They haven't been preserved. We've never read them. And we know today that some of the things that were written down were really kooky and really crazy ideas about Jesus, and they didn't make it into the Bible. They were not part of the canon because the early church leaders looked at that and said no and no and no. But clearly God's hand is on these. And so 2,000 years later, we have in the Gospel of Luke and the other Gospels that are complementary what God wanted us to know, what God wanted us to have. But beyond just writing this reliable and accurate account of the details, Luke and the others who were writing these things were finding, hey, this isn't just some historical facts about somebody who lived and died and that was the end of that. This is life-changing truths. These things that Jesus said, these things that Jesus did were having an impact in people's lives, a powerful change in their lives. And so Luke would interview Paul, he would interview the others who were eyewitnesses, a lot of the things that would happen. He says, the eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. He admits, I didn't see some of these things myself, but I've talked to the people who had. And he also had the benefit of these multiple sources. He would have met Peter, he would have met others probably who had these engaging stories about what had happened, and he saw the need to write it all down and compile it. But remember, even as Luke is writing these things down, there were a lot of people, there was a significant portion of the people who were opposed to the gospel message. They didn't believe Jesus was who he said he was. That's why they crucified him. There was a lot of opposition to that. So if Luke or any of the other gospel writers got it wrong, messed up in a detail, fabricated something that didn't really happen, they would have been called on it immediately. Somebody would have been there to say, no, it didn't happen that way. I was there, and yet none of that happens because even though the Spirit was guiding Luke in what he was writing, the Spirit was not dictating these things to Luke of, okay, write this down now. The Spirit was guiding him as he was writing down the information that he had received, the information that he had been told. The details about Jesus really mattered, and Luke was passionate about getting it right. He had mentioned this to Theophilus that he had been following these events closely for some time past. This wasn't something that Luke just decided over a weekend, I think I'm going to write some of these things down. He's been studying this for some time. He was careful. He was deliberate. He was accurate in what he said. And finally, Luke wrote to Theophilus and to us with a specific purpose in mind, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. Many of you remember the days when you got your information from the evening news or from the fish wrapper that was thrown on your into your front yard. It wasn't a 24-hour news cycle. We weren't constantly being bombarded with information. You couldn't Google something. And I'm not sure that a 24-hour news cycle is such a blessing. Remember the time of wanting to be informed and know everything that was going on. And now I'm definitely more in a phase of, you know what, I don't need to know everything that's going on. It doesn't really matter. There's nothing that I can do about it. And I just, so many things I don't need to know about in that flow of information. We've also noticed that we can't exactly trust the accuracy of everything that we hear. Not to be overly cynical this morning, but it's almost as though those who are informing us are doing a little bit more than trying to inform us. They're trying to influence us. They're trying to spin the story of what's supposedly happening in such a way to get us to think in such a way or get us to act in such a way that they want us to think and they want us to act. And they don't like it when their motivation or their accuracy is called into question. And so that's another reason sometimes we just need to turn it off and turn to a little bit more objective source of information. But pure or not, everybody that's putting out information has an agenda. Whether that agenda is ever stated or not, they have an agenda, and Luke was no exception. He wrote his gospel with an agenda, and the agenda is that you may have certainty concerning the things that you were taught. Certainty. How many things in this life do you have certainty concerning? Maybe not as many as we would like to think. Or maybe more than we realize. But we like to have certainty. We like to know. And unfortunately, some people get it wrong in the sense of they think that they know these things. They're certain about them. It's just that they're wrong. And then the things that they can be certain about, they're skeptical about those things. It's too bad. Now, the need for walking by faith and accepting some things by faith is never removed. We're always going to need to walk by faith. We're always going to have to just trust in some things that we don't understand. But there are some things that we can know with certainty. And if we're going to set our future, if we're going to base our lives on anything, it has to be these things. And it very well could be that Theophilus in the light of what he was seeing around him. And because some time had passed, maybe Theophilus was struggling with some doubts and with some confusion. And where it gets really personal this morning is, as we start a new year, you may find yourself in exactly the same place, right there with Theophilus. Some things are hard to understand. Not even about God. Some things are hard to understand, especially about God. Why is God doing this? Why is God not doing this? Why does God allow this? Theophilus needed some reassurance that these things were true. And if that's where you are today, if you're right there with Theophilus, I just lived through a year or maybe 2 years, and I don't understand what that was all about. I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to believe anymore, but I need some more reassurance. I need some confirmation. I need to understand that if I really am going to go all in on this gospel thing, if I really am going to follow Jesus, I need some assurance that this really is true, that he really is the truth and the way and the life that he claims to be. Well, if that's where you are today, then the gospel, in Luke's gospel specifically, was written for you. How do we deal with our doubts and our questions? How do we also deal with our weaknesses and our failures? By looking to Jesus, and looking to Jesus again, and not ceasing to continue to look to Jesus. Another book that I was reading, I love how he says this. This is why Luke wrote the gospel. He calls it the gospel of knowing for sure. He researched things carefully and wrote them down logically and accurately, giving us the real history of Jesus. He knew that, like faith itself, the assurance of faith comes by hearing the gospel. So, like a good doctor, Luke wrote a book that would heal the doubting soul. Luke's gospel is for anyone who needs to know Jesus. It's for people who have never met Jesus before and for people who need to meet him again, as if for the very first time. It's for people who aren't quite sure about Jesus, for people who are just starting to trust in him, and for people who have known him for a long time but still need to become more secure in their faith. It's for anyone who wants to know for sure. So we know the stories, we know things about Jesus. But as we start a new year, what we need more than anything else is a renewed focus on Jesus and a fresh desire to know him and to walk with him. Because whatever else is going to happen in our lives this year, we're going to need to walk with Jesus. We're going to need to know that he is with us, and we're going to need to walk with him each step of the way. And so in just a brief 4-verse introduction, I'm already looking forward to next week of what we're going to see. Whatever else happens to us this year, may it be said at the end of the year that we grew to love him and we grew to know him more this year. Whatever else may happen, may we be able to say that at the end of this one. For his glory, let's stand together and pray. God, we are blessed just at the thought that So many years ago, you inspired a guy that we will never meet until heaven. Knowing that a lot of other people were writing things down about Jesus, you inspired Dr. Luke to compile a narrative, to tell the stories, to listen to the eyewitnesses, and in all of that process, to give us your word. And Lord, maybe there are a number of us in the room today or are watching online, whatever it may be, that are a lot like Theophilus, that in the light of what's happened in our lives, in the light of what we see in the world around us, we need to have reassurance. But may it be that we seek to find that reassurance in your word and in your truth, and not in the answers that the world gives, not in the false narrative of the world, to find that truth in you and to look to you and your word. God, we do want to grow closer to you this year. We want to get to know you better, not information so much about you, but to know you in a personal and a real way. So we love you and praise you, and we look forward to all that you want to do in our lives this year, for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.